Opinions expressed by talk show hosts or callers on KWRO AM 630 do not necessarily represent or express the opinions of the staff and management of KWRO AM 630 or Bicoastal Media LLC, its sponsors and subsidiaries. And now, ladies and gentlemen, broadcasting live from the palatial Bicoastal Media Studios high atop the Hall Building in beautiful downtown Coos Bay, it's the Jim Bice Show. Here he is, Jim Bice, the guy everyone hates to love.
Good afternoon, Coos County. Welcome to the Jim Bice Show. It is such a lovely day here in the Bay Area. You know, rain and sunny and rain and sunny, and at the moment it's raining here. I don't know what it's doing where you're at, but it's spring in Oregon. And I can't tell you how many people I've heard complain about this, but look at the bright side. The weather's slowly getting warm, and it can rain all at once, and you don't have to get up in the morning and shovel it. That's what people don't understand. I grew up in the Midwest, and during the winter, you spend half your life shoveling snow.
You know, I got a friend who lives in Colorado, and he's got 4 feet on his front door. So
yeah. You know, I don't mind this. This is good. And, you know, it's only going to be a couple months before we're all complaining, oh, my God, it's so hot.
Yeah, I love when Oregonians complain when it's hot. I'm from Albuquerque. It ain't been hot here yet.
Well, I guess everything's relative to your point of reference, but it's a little strange. I'm going to do something different today, at least for the first hour of the show. Normally, I come in to do the show with copious notes. Generally, anywhere from 12 to 20 pages of notes, so that basically I use it as a guideline so I don't get lost in what I'm talking about.
Plus that, your best rants come to you at midnight on Tuesday, right? That happens to me.
Yeah. But I'm doing something a little different today. I've got one page, and my notes are one line apiece just to keep me on track. I wanted to do something. I wanted to do opinion. I normally don't do a whole lot of opinion on the show because I know most of you listening out there are after facts, information that you can't get from the mainstream media. And I'm gonna have some of that. But I want people to understand that this is opinion. It's based on things that have happened and... I guess just my thought processes on it. Before I get into that, though, I do want to announce that the second hour of the show, we will have Steve Scheer on. Steve is running for Coos County Commissioner. And then next week in the first hour, we're having Natalie Ranker on. Natalie is running for Coos County Commissioner. And in the second hour, we're going to have Court Boyce on the show. Court is, he's out of Gold Beach, and he's running for U.S. representative against Little Peter DeFazio.
I saw his sign guy out there. I don't know if that was Court or not, but I did see his sign guy out there hanging up his sign. So.
Yeah, all the candidates are out there getting their signs out and passing out literature and... You know, when I talk to these people and they want to come on the show, I'm more than happy to allow any political candidate to come on this show and explain why people should vote for them. I think anybody foolish enough to run for public office deserves all the help they can get, right?
Yeah. And we're going to find out how foolish they are to come on the show, right?
One thing I've done, and I do this every election cycle, whatever the office... I devise a list of questions, so I ask all of the candidates for that office the same questions. That way, nobody can ever accuse me of being unfair. Nobody can ever say, well, you know, you showed favoritism to this or that or the other candidate. I don't do that. It's not my job to tell people who to vote for. My job is to give you folks valid information to try to ask the questions that I think are important to you. And it's all on the candidates. I don't want to influence an election one way or the other. That's not my job. My job is to provide information, and that's what I try to do. So anyway, that being said, I'll tell you what, before I start in with my little opinion piece, let's take a break here and pay some of the bills. And I want to remind everybody, this is an interactive talk show. That means that you can call in and your opinions are every bit as important as mine. Since I'm going to be doing opinion for the next 45 minutes or so, feel free to call, add your 2 cents, tell me how wrong I am, whatever, that's fine. The phone number here is 541-267-2124. If you're outside the immediate calling area, you can call toll-free at 800-507-5569. And with that, we're going to take a break, and I'll be right back.
Always the right tire, always the right price, Far West Tire.
Hi, Danny at Far West Tire and Auto here. With winter weather comes unstable road conditions. At Far West Tire and Auto, we've got you covered with great deals on American-made tires with up to $140 back in rebates on 4 select tires. We can have you safely traveling in style, so stop by and visit the guys at Far West Tire and Auto. Highway 101, Coos Bay. Always the right tire, always the right price.
At Gibbs RV in Coos Bay, we sell more RVs than anybody on the Oregon coast. And we're looking for nice, clean, pre-owned RVs to consign or buy. Want to get your RV sold without the hassle? Call Gibbs RV today at 888-3424. That's 541-888-3424. Local pickup and appraisal at no charge. And remember, we make house calls. Gibbs RV Superstore, 1845 Ocean Boulevard in Coos Bay.
Stop in today to the all-new one-stop gun shop, Hole in the Wall Gun Shop in Coos Bay. Your area leader in quality firearms, Hole in the Wall Gun Shop proudly features the top brands of new and used handguns, hunting rifles, black rifles, antique and collectible guns, ammo, mace, and more. Gun cleaning and repair, expert advice, and handgun safety classes for concealed carry permits are offered too. So stop into Hole in the Wall Gun Shop across from Cumyon's on Highway 101 South in Coos Bay. We buy, sell, or trade.
We're back. It's the Jim Bice Show. There he is, Jim Bice.
Welcome back to the show. You know, I study the news on a daily basis. I probably spend a whole lot more time doing it than I should, but I do it. I don't know any better. And some things have started to, gel in my mind about what's really happening here in America, how we, the normal people of this country, are losing this country. We're losing it. They're taking it away from us with stupid stuff. And it's predominantly academia, Hollywood, and the movie and the media that's doing it. When you look at the stuff that's happening on the school campuses, everything from middle schools on up through higher education and universities, all we hear about is white supremacy, male toxicity. It's like they're teaching our young people to hate normal people.
To hate normal behavior, too.
Yeah. You know, and I look, there's so many things that enter into this. That it's almost overwhelming. When I was trying to make notes for this to keep me on track on the direction I wanted to go, there were so many things that I was having a difficult time trying to make it flow together, and I probably didn't do a very good job. You're going to tell that here during the show, but you know, and we got stuff like microaggressions and safe spaces. And one item particularly hit me. There's a company that provides about 70% of the textbooks for all the schools across the country.
Whoa. You said one company for 70%.
Yeah, AP. AP is how they're referred to. I don't remember the full name of the company.
And you know, they're going after Facebook for having so much of the market.
Right.
Can you imagine 70% of the education is in the hands of one company? That's an incredible statement.
Well, it's even worse than that. I've known this for some time.
Right.
And I figured, okay, well, maybe it's competitive bidding, maybe it's this, maybe it's that. So I started doing a little checking, and it isn't. It's just because, well, they've always provided it, so that's who we go to. That's the attitude. But they've come out, it's not in the schools yet, but they have come out with a new history book that they're going to send to middle schools and high schools across the country to teach history.
I can only imagine.
Specifically American history.
Oh, boy.
The problem with it, and now I've read a number of excerpts from this, the whole book is not yet published, but they have put excerpts out. They circulate a lot of this stuff to various teachers and things to get their input before they include it in a book, and they're in that process now. But one of the things that's happening is this new American history book is totally anti-American, and it's anti-normal people. What it's talking, what it's trying to promote is the idea that all of the problems in the world are based on white European Christians.
You mean the same people who cured all those diseases, who brought about technologies, who brought advancements in sciences, who took us to the moon?
Who brought freedom to people?
That freedom thing. That's a big
one. But in this, according to excerpts I've read, and I've read probably 30 different ones, it makes white European Christians appear to be the basis for every problem the world has had since there have been people. And what it's doing is it's substituting that for black history and Muslim history and all of these other things that those are not what made America great. It was white Christian Europeans that founded this country. Like it or not, you liberals, that's the fact.
And it's nothing to be ashamed of either.
No, it isn't. And what this textbook is promoting is a concept that black and brown and anybody but white people should be taking over the world and banishing white people. In fact, they actually advocate for turning white people into a minority and treating them as second-class citizens. Now, This is in the face of all that the white people have done in this country to try to eliminate racism and bring minorities into the mainstream. But they want to go exactly the other way. And this is the kind of crap that they want to teach our kids in the schools.
That's a perverse sense of social justice.
Well, it is. And then I started with that, and I started looking at all of the other things that are happening out there with how academia and Hollywood and the media have corrupted our society and specifically corrupted our young people. Because now, I know a lot of you listening probably have children, and I'm sure you talk to your children about what they've learned in school. And I've talked to a number of parents that are pretty upset about some of the crap they're teaching, and rightfully so. The other side of that coin is that people who truly care about their children actually work with their children and point out some of the flaws in the stuff they're filling them full at school, but that becomes almost a never-ending job.
My son was a former student abandoned, and it was a constant job to basically re-educate him from the education he was receiving at school to the point where he was coming home complaining that he was arguing with his socialist teacher. These weren't liberals. These were socialists, okay? And so he did have a problem with a lot of them and arguing with them.
Well, and a prime example of that, remember a few weeks ago when they had this so-called Students' March? Actually, there are a number of them all across the country opposing the Second Amendment.
Right.
And the schools, by and large, were behind those and actually facilitated giving the kids time off of school so they could go demonstrate.
Which is odd, because anytime we were ever doing a walkout, the first thing we would tell you is you're going to be facing suspension immediately. There should be a price to civil disobedience.
Well, but there's another side to this. This past weekend, Saturday, and a lot of people didn't even know about it because the mainstream media didn't even touch it. There were dozens and dozens of pro-gun demonstrations all across the country, predominantly by students. And some of this actually started last Friday, where some of the students left school so they could participate. And the schools penalized them for going out to demonstrate in favor of the Second Amendment. But a few weeks prior, they'd actually assisted them to go out of school to demonstrate against the Second Amendment.
Okay, Jim, I knew about the rallies they were going to have.
Right.
The We Support the Second Amendment rallies, and I saw several of them. I actually considered having one. But I did not know that there were students who walked out of class to participate in these so-called rallies. See, that I, you know, and I'm pretty, you know, literate on keeping up with the news. So that's amazing that that one got by me.
Well, it happened. I found two instances. Both one of them was in Connecticut. One of them was in Vermont, where the schools actually penalized the students for leaving early to participate. Where those very same schools, and I double-checked on it, those very same schools actually gave the students a pass to go out to demonstrate against the Second Amendment.
You know, it's much like that teacher who was suspended because she asked the question, didn't even suggest it, but asked the question on whether the students or the school would support an abortion rally to oppose abortion.
Yeah, she was suspended. And there was a student in Arizona that was suspended for stating in class that there were only two genders.
Oh, I did hear something about that one. Now, that one I heard about, and I thought, okay, well, then free speech is dead and opinion is dead.
He stood up in class, and he said, biologically speaking, there's only two genders, and he was suspended for that.
I guess it wasn't the biology teacher who suspended him, because that's actually correct. There are two genders.
So. Yeah. Well, you can have all the surgery you want, but you don't change the genetics. You know, you can still be a female with male plumbing or vice versa because you cannot change genetics. And this transgender thing, think about this, folks. The media has been pushing this. Hollywood's been pushing it. Academia has been pushing it. You know what the best figures we have available are on transgenders? 1/12 of 1% of the population is transgender. Now, up until about 2 years ago, transgenderism was considered a psychological, not a disease, but a psychological aberration, okay? And the treatment in most cases, if it was for somebody under about 18 years old, the treatment was, well, just let it go because they'll outgrow it, which most of them did.
Right.
If they were over 18, then they were subject to counseling and stuff and that type of thing. But now transgenderism is being pushed as being normal, and it's anything but normal. And then look at the gay marriage thing. Now, I don't have anything against homosexuals. They've been around forever. They're going to be around forever. There's just certain people that are attracted to the same sex.
And we have nothing against marriage, but, of course, it kind of ruined the whole gay sex thing, I guess.
But here's where the problem lies. They pushed for gay marriage. Oh, well, we just want the same rights as everybody else. You know, we love each other and we want to get married. And it's not going to have, how many times were we assured, well, this will have no impact on society. It's just between individuals, right? Well, how about suing bakeries and florists and fast food places and every other kind of business ostensibly for discrimination against homosexuals? Well, number one, I looked into all of these I could find as they were happening.
Right.
I saw no overt discrimination. What I did see were people that have predominantly Christian values that say, hey, the Bible says this is wrong. We don't want to participate. Please take your business elsewhere.
You know, that used to be protected.
Well, it used to be.
Yeah.
But not anymore. So now there's a number of businesses across the country that have gone out of business because of lawsuits, because for whatever reason, they opted not to serve homosexuals. Now, they didn't opt not to serve them on a daily basis. It all came down, in every instance I looked at, was it revolved around a gay marriage in some way, shape, or form. They wanted some business to provide services for their wedding, whether it was a bakery or a florist, or there were rental places that rent tuxedos and, right. and stuff like that.
Different businesses that cater to
just different businesses that are engaged in or peripherally have something to do with weddings. So these businesses were not allowed to opt out of providing their products or services to gay weddings because they called that discrimination, even though they were asking to violate these people's First Amendment rights to freedom of religion.
Yeah, it's like asking you to participate in something that you find vulgar and repulsive, and then having the government fine you for not participating in that act.
Well, it's even worse than that, because religious liberty is guaranteed by the First Amendment to our Constitution. So
right.
what they're saying, if you comply with your rights according to the Constitution, we're going to sue you because some idiot decided that he's offended that you won't provide services because you disapprove of his lifestyle. Well, here's the bottom line, folks, and here's the big news. On a daily basis, every single one of us discriminates in some way, shape, or form against companies, individuals, whatever.
And thank goodness we do.
For a number of reasons.
It's called survival of the fittest.
It's survival of the fittest. And, you know, I'll give you an example. I don't like liver. I cannot stand liver.
Me too.
I have walked out of restaurants because I went in and I could smell liver cooking and it gagged me and I left and went to another restaurant. I never once thought of suing the restaurant.
For all that liver, huh?
Yeah. But according to the way this is, anybody that's offended by anything should have the right to sue somebody just for being normal.
Well, no, Jim, because, you know, they just had Fred Meyer and they just had Bi-Mart refuse to sell to a person who is legally capable of
right.
owning a gun. They refused to sell them because they were under 21. And to me, that's age discrimination as
well,
far as I'm concerned.
Well, it's more than that. There's actually lawsuits been filed over that because
right.
legally in the United States, the age of majority is 18 years old.
Thank goodness.
At 18 years old, a person can vote, they can serve in the military and possibly lose their lives in the process. They have all of the privileges that an adult enjoys in our society, and yet you have companies who are arbitrarily saying, well, you may have reached the age of majority, but we don't want to give you those rights that you have earned through your age.
Right.
So we're not going to provide you with the products and services that we provide for everybody else. And that is discrimination.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
If you're going to do it across the board. If you don't like the law, then petition to change the law. But see, and this is another thing, and they're teaching this crap in the schools. Hollywood promotes it. The media promotes it. Well, if you don't like something, it doesn't matter if it's against the law, because just the fact you don't like it means that you should go ahead and do whatever you want anyway. You know, a prime example of that's on the illegal aliens invading the country from our southern border. Liberals don't think that they have to obey the law. We've got entire states, including this one, that think they don't have to obey the law. Well, the only thing that holds a society together are the laws that are obeyed equally by everybody and enforced equally on everybody. But now we have all these exceptions. A good example of that, you know, we hear the whining all the time from liberals about, I was just reading an article over the weekend, some liberal group has her shorts all knotted up because they did an assessment of the federal prison system. Now, blacks make up about 17% of the population overall. Well, they found that in the federal prison system, that blacks comprised 26% of the inmates. Well, that's unfair because we have more blacks in jail than we have in the general population. Well, could it be maybe that the reason there's more of these people in jail is because they broke the law?
Well, don't come to common sense on that one.
But, you know, ever since we have caved in on this so-called equality nonsense, they've tried to force equality into every aspect of our lives. And let's face it, folks, all men are created equal, and women are created equal by our Creator. I don't have a problem with that. But after that moment of creation, what happens in your life is entirely up to you. You know, I don't think there's anybody listening to me that can't think of somebody that they think is a jerk and they don't want anything to do with. I mean, the world's full of them. You know, a lot of people think I'm a jerk, don't want anything to do with me, and that's fine.
I was going to say there's two jerks sitting across the table from each other right now.
But that's okay. We make those kind of determinations every day. It's a normal part of living. But now we have special interests, you know, gays, transgenders, racists, enviro wackos. You can run the full gamut. But if you don't agree with what they say, then they come after you for discrimination. And we all discriminate. It's a part of life.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's just how, like I said, that's how we protect ourselves. We discriminate it. You know, we were talking about jerks. You've met people that you've immediately had a distrust for. I know we've all had. Well, that's a good thing. When you feel the back of your hairs rise and you feel that judgment coming up on someone, that's a good thing because there may be someone that you need to be aware of. It's a natural instinct that we all have.
It's a self-protective instinct. Right. And we all do it, like it or not. Even the liberals that are whatever. I don't know what liberals are. I don't even have words to describe them. I don't think there's words in the English language. But it flies in the face of normality, and it flies in the face of the way normal people conduct themselves. Now, you don't go out and you don't just arbitrarily treat somebody badly because you disagree with them. Most of the time, you just avoid them.
Right.
But to hear liberals tell it, every normal person out there is a hater in some way, shape, or form. And I don't know about you. And, you know, I don't hate anybody.
I don't got time to hate anybody.
Well, and I was raised, you know, you don't hate people. You may disagree with them. You don't want to be around them. You don't want to talk to them. Fine. But you don't hate them. But one of the movie stars, I can't remember her name because I don't know anything about the pop culture because I don't care about it.
Yeah, I know.
You know, to me, it's a wasted effort.
Yeah.
It's not real. It's all fantasy land.
Parade of idiots.
But one of them's claiming that she's going to leave the United States because of all the racism in this country. Well, maybe she ought to get away from the dummies she hangs around with and take a look at the real world. I've been there, and I'll tell you what, for minorities, this is the best place in the world to live.
Jim, I got one for you. Talk about liberal idiocy. We had a guy just, I think it was just over this past weekend, who poured gas on himself.
Yeah.
Did you hear about this?
Yeah, he's an enviro wacko attorney, and he was protesting global warming. So he killed himself. Well, where's the downside?
Yeah, I was going to say, now if we could get all the rest of you environmentalists who are afraid, especially of overpopulation, well, then that means you want less population, so you
start
can take
yourself.
Care of it.
Lead from
and
the
you
front.
Know, yeah. And I'm practicing the golden rule because I think people should be treated the way you want to be treated. And if I had a crazy idea that I thought I'd want to be able to do away with myself and it would better the world, then I would do it. And if that's what you believe, go for it.
Go for it. Yeah. I don't have a problem with that. I'm running way over time as usual for the break. But I need to give something away. This is from your locally owned McDonald's restaurants. They're located in Coos Bay, North Bend. By the way, I was through the one in North Bend. What day was it? Saturday.
That's the one over at Newmark.
Yeah. Yeah. They're remodeling their dining room, so only the drive-through is open. And I got there, and at first I thought, well, you know, this sucks because they've got two lanes for their drive-through, and both of them were backed up into the parking lot in that little shopping center there.
Right.
And I thought, geez, do I really want to get in line here and wait the rest of my life to get a hamburger? But I thought, well, I'm here, you know. So I got in line. I was absolutely impressed with how quickly the line moved, how efficient the people in that store were about getting the people through and getting their food into their hands.
Yeah, if you sit there on a lunch, especially the one over here in Coos Bay, and you watch the cars that go through from noon to one, it's incredible the amount of people they put through there.
And the people were so nice. They were slammed in the kitchen. I talked to the little lady at the window that takes your money, and she says, oh, yeah, she says, it's been like this, and it's going to be like this, but we're dealing with it. We know how to handle it, and by golly, they did. Anyway, there's restaurants in Coos Bay, North Bend, one in Walmart and one in Reedsport, and the owner of those restaurants has authorized me to give away some stuff to my listeners as a form of appreciation for all the business you bring to his stores. So I have in my hot little hand a certificate for one free breakfast, lunch, or dinner extra value meal. That's a whole meal. It's great if you got kids. Here's one for one free lunch or dinner sandwich of your choice. That's anything on the menu. One for one free dessert of your choice. And it's got pictures of ice cream cones. I really wouldn't mind an ice cream cone right now. And another one for one free small McCafe beverage, as well as a sheet of coupons for various products. It's basically buy one, get one free. And there's quite a few of them on the sheet. I'm going to give all this away to caller number 3 at 541-267-2124. So dial the phone right now, 541-267-2124. Be caller number 3, and you get all these goodies from your locally owned McDonald's restaurants. And I'll be right back.
And now your weekly car care tip from Tom's Bulldog Automotive.
Hi, I'm Tom from Tom's Bulldog Automotive in Coos Bay. What's one of the first things that needs replacing on your car? The windshield wiper blades, and not usually from wear, but from deterioration because of the elements and the environment. Sun, even chemicals in the air and water can deteriorate wiper blades. Now is the time to replace streaking, chattering wiper blades. It's important to see clearly when it is wet out to keep you and your family safe and avoid accidents.
Go to Tom's Bulldog Automotive to have your wiper blades replaced today. They'll make sure your car is in tip-top shape for the winter. Call Tom's Bulldog Automotive today at 541-269-0399. That's 541-269-0399. Or go to tomsbulldog.com.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. Think you can't manage the down payment it takes to purchase a new home? Think again. You could move into a $150,000 home with as little as $1,500 down with our 1% down payment option. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.99%, APR 4.19%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. Every day people ask me, Jay, did I miss out? Have the rates gone up? The answer is no. Rates are still low, and it's a perfect time to refinance your home, especially if your mortgage rate is higher than 4.25%. If you'd like to lower your interest rate and save thousands of dollars in interest without starting over on a new 30-year loan, a Quicken Loans Yorgage is what you're looking for. With our exclusive Yorgage, you can choose a term that works best for you, anywhere from 8 to 30 years. The rate today on an 8-year Yorgage is 3.25%, APR 3.75%. For 7 years in a row now, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation for customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. And for the 3rd year in a row, they've also ranked us highest in the nation for mortgage servicing. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com. That's 800-QUICKEN.
For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org. Number 3030.
Your brain is an amazing thing, but as you get older, it naturally begins to change, causing a lack of sharpness or even trouble with recall. Thankfully, the breakthrough in Prevagen helps your brain and actually improves memory. The secret is an ingredient originally discovered in jellyfish. In clinical trials, Prevagen has been shown to improve short-term memory. Prevagen, the name to remember, now available in stores everywhere. Statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
All right, so I have insomnia, but I've never slept better. And what's changed? Just a pillow. It's had such a positive impact on my life. And of course, I'm talking about MyPillow. I fall asleep faster, I stay asleep longer, and now you can too. Just go to MyPillow.com or call 800-919-6090. Use the promo code Hannity, and Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, has the special four-pack. Now you get 40% off two MyPillow premiums and two Go Anywhere pillows. Now MyPillow is made here in the USA, has a 60-day unconditional money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Go to MyPillow.com right now or call 800-919-6090, promo code Hannity, to get Mike Lindell's special four-pack offer. You get two MyPillow premium pillows and two Go Anywhere pillows for 40% off. And that means once those pillows arrive, you start getting the kind of peaceful and restful and comfortable and deep healing and recuperative sleep that you've been craving and you certainly deserve. MyPillow.com, promo code Hannity. You will love this pillow.
Looking for electronics or musical instruments? Do you like jewelry? Are you looking for a new or used firearm? How about tools? Or maybe you could use some extra cash. World Pawn Exchange, located at 1980 Sherman Avenue in downtown North Bend, buys and sells firearms, gold and silver, coins and jewelry, musical instruments, electronics, and more. At World Pawn Exchange, you'll find more than you can possibly imagine. World Pawn Exchange, 1980 Sherman Avenue in North Bend.
Today's newer vehicles are more dependable than ever before. Qualified technicians keep them operating at peak efficiency. Bayshore Auto Repair, North Bayshore Drive in Coos Bay, have all the proper equipment and training to service and repair today's high-tech vehicles. Bayshore Auto Repair believes that care of their customers is just as important as the care they give your vehicle. Call 269-2700 for an appointment to keep your car, truck, or RV in top running condition. Bayshore Auto Repair. Top quality service and excellent customer care are their most important goals.
Hey everyone, this is Rob from Bass and Tackle, and we want to invite you to tune in every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for our brand new Bass and Tackle Outdoor Show. It's going to be an hour of fun, frivolity, and of course, fishing. Remember folks, that's Wednesdays at 3 p.m. and Saturday mornings at 6 a.m.
We're back. It's the Jim Bice Show. There he is, Jim Bice.
Welcome back to the Jim Bice Show, and we do have a winner on the freebies from McDonald's, so we'll do it again next week on that, and we've got another giveaway coming up in second hour. But I want to get back to how America is being stolen from the real people by liberals, academia, Hollywood, and the media. You know, one of their tactics is absolving people from individual responsibility. Now, anybody that reads real history or understands the founding of this country, the basic premise of this country was individual freedom and individual responsibility, because freedom and responsibility go together. You can't have one without the other. It's just the way it is. But liberals, with assistance from academia, Hollywood, and the media, have tried to absolve people from individual responsibility. And they do this in a number of ways. One of the ways that became readily apparent just a few weeks ago was this school shooting in Florida. Now, the shooter was known to the cops, he was known to the school, and he was known to the FBI as being a whack job that was potentially violent. And nobody did anything. And one of the reasons for that is that school and many schools across the country have adopted one of Obama's programs that, well, when these young people do something wrong, we don't want to stigmatize them by holding them accountable. So we're just going to give them a pass. Well, we've seen how well that works out. But they continue to do it. There's been calls to overturn that program, and the liberals are out there in force trying to save a program that just killed a bunch of kids. And then it's basically an absolution from individual responsibility for one's actions. And they're starting it with the children, telling them, well, you can go out, you can do all these awful things, and nothing's going to happen because we're going to protect you.
And the same people, the teachers union, that's promoting that idea.
Absolutely.
Is the one who's educating our kids. So,
yeah.
You know.
Well, and let's take it a step farther. You know, one of the primary things for liberals is abortion. That's their big thing. You know, oh my God, you've got to be able to kill babies at will. That's the liberal platform. That's a Democrat platform. Well, you know, when you come right down to the bottom line, why should anybody give a rat's behind one way or the other about abortion? You know, to a degree, I agree with the libs in that it's a woman's individual right to make that determination. However, why should the rest of us have to pay for that? Because, you know, when I was young, yeah, abortions went on. They were predominantly illegal. There were some exceptions, but abortion was generally condoned by most normal people back then in cases of rape or incest or a situation where the mother's life or the child's life was in danger. And, you know, that was just common sense stuff.
Right.
But now they've come along and abortion is being used as a form of birth control. And they expect everybody else to pay for it.
Which is denigrating to anyone who's a Catholic or very religious and devoutful and doesn't believe in that. Once again, that participation.
Again, it's predominantly it's attack on Christianity. But I don't want to get in a religious discussion. I want to keep this on a common sense level. But basically what they're using abortion for is an excuse for people not to be responsible for their own actions. You know, we've all heard of the days of the shotgun weddings and stuff. Well, that was a deterrent. It was a deterrent from horny young guys and horny young girls getting together and creating babies that neither one of them wanted. Because, let's face it, young people are no different now than they were when I was a kid.
Yeah, but birth control is a lot different. And,
yes.
And they have no excuse to say that we're going to use abortion. And you're right, there's a lot of young women and young people, because young men go out there and have a lot of kids, and they're doing the same thing.
Yeah, but basically it's telling them, well, you can act like heathens, you can be as immoral as you want, you can go screw around as much as you want, and we'll foot the bill for your irresponsibility. What kind of a message is that really sending? We do have a caller. We have Hank from Bandon. Hank, thanks for holding on the phone. What's on your mind today?
Hi, Jim, on this wet April day.
Oh, yes. Well, sunny. It's sunny here
April.
Right now.
Beautiful.
You're
talking about discrimination and, you know, the birth control.
Right.
Number one, birth control should be one's own self responsibility.
Exactly. It's not the responsibility of society.
And another thing, you're talking about discrimination. Say three of us were going on I-5 or 101 or wherever, and we're breaking the speed limit. We're all, you know, we're a threesome, and we're, you know, doing 65 and a 55, but the cop only pulls me over. Would that be considered discrimination because he didn't get the other two?
Well, I don't know. Did he see the other? You know,
we're all traveling the same speed.
Well,
we're traveling in a tandem.
That's probably a case of picking on the lowest fruit. You know, whatever's easiest.
You know, and
I don't think it's discrimination as much as laziness.
And I think a lot of it has to do with poverty.
Well, I don't know. But yeah. Well, then if you're picking on the lowest fruit, then you're discriminating also because you're not picking the highest one.
Well, that's true. But, You know, and you're making my point for me, Hank. We all discriminate every day to some degree.
Yes.
It's a normal part of living. And, you
well,
know, sometimes. Yeah,
sometimes
you come out on top, sometimes you get screwed. That's just the way it is. That's life.
There
is no such thing as absolute safety, like all these snowflakes on the college campuses believe. And there's no hard rule in society on virtually anything that doesn't have contributing factors that may mitigate whether or not that rule's enforced. It's just the way it is. We live in an imperfect world. Human beings are imperfect creatures. We make poor decisions.
We all do every day. You know, sometimes if I would have done this or I would have done that, it'd been different.
Yeah, woulda, coulda, shoulda. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So we got to deal with it.
But what they're teaching our young people, and I think this is a horrible disservice, is they're teaching our young people that you should never have to face the consequences of making a poor decision. And that's how you learn. I'll tell you what, if anybody's made poor decisions over their lifetime, I'm probably right there in the running for first or second place.
Yeah, Jim, I was going to say, if it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. So, and no one's privileged there.
But you know what? Making poor decisions should be a learning process so you don't do it again.
Well, that's exactly what and, it is. I mean, you go ahead and have your... you're trying to drive a nail and you hit your thumb with the hammer. Well, you don't want to do that again because it hurts.
Yeah, you learn to keep your thumb out of the way or become a better shot with your hammer and hit the nail instead of your thumb. But
anyways, those are my comments and whatnot.
And I think you made some...
Thank you for your show. We try to listen most every week.
Well, I appreciate that, Hank. I really do, and I thank you for the call. You made some valid points, and I appreciate that.
You do a good show.
Well, thank you.
Okay.
You have a great day. But, you know, this is what it all comes down to, is individual responsibility. The whole premise of liberalism is to absolve people from responsibility and put that responsibility on government. And we've all seen how well government functions by taking over everything. In fact, the whole liberal agenda is have government run virtually everything and dictate to every individual how you should live your life, because according to liberals, most of us aren't smart enough to make our own decisions.
Yeah, that more of that central planning by people who can't even plan their own life.
Yeah, but... And you look at things like, this is something, Lars Larson was talking about something earlier today. Had a kid on that was suspended from school for wearing what was called an offensive T-shirt. Basically, it was a T-shirt advocating building the wall across our southern border. Well, the school thought that was offensive, so they suspended him for wearing a T-shirt, yet they allow the kids to wear Antifa T-shirts. They allow the kids to wear Black Lives Matter T-shirts. They allow the kids to wear Planned Parenthood T-shirts.
Oh, and don't forget the Che Guevara T-shirts. We got to have a communist in there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We got another caller. We got CJ from Coos Bay. CJ, welcome to the Jim Bice Show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, good afternoon. That actress is talking about leaving is Charlize Theron.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah, you're right.
And, you know, she's actually South African.
Yeah. Yeah. She claims we're a racist country, and South Africa just decided that they're going to steal all the land from the white people and give it to the black people. If that isn't racism, I don't know what the hell is.
Exactly. And the lawyer that immolated himself.
Yeah.
It wasn't over the EnviroWacko things. It was in protest to the treatment of the gay community.
Yeah, well, you know, as far
And now he's the toast of the LGBT crowd.
Oh,
well, you know what? You know what? A lawyer killing himself In my opinion, in my humble opinion, I have a term for that. It's a good start.
Yeah, it's a public service.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think he did a public service. I think that we, the taxpayers, should pay to plant him because he did us all a favor.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's what they say about a 747 crashing into the ocean full of lawyers with two empty seats.
Exactly, yeah. Well, you know, one thing you've got to give them is you've got to admire them for the strength of their convictions.
Well, that's you've got something there, I guess. Anyway, have a good afternoon.
Okay, and I thank you for the call and bringing up Charlize Theron, because to tell you the truth, I could care less.
I know. You know, I'll say something else quickly. Most of what I watch anymore, I'm so sick of these Hollywood actors that most of what I watch are Australian and British films, and I don't care what those people's political views are, because it's not in my face, so I don't know what they are. And
that's
so
right. Your actors, if they're actors, act, stay out of things they know nothing about.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, I thank you for the call, CJ. You have a great day, and that music coming up in the background means that we're at the top of the hour. We're going to hear from some of our great sponsors. We're going to hear some propaganda and lies from lamestream media. And I know they're propaganda and lies because their lips are moving. So suffer through it, put on your brain filters, and I'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Bice Show. There he is, Jim Bice.
Welcome back to the Jim Bice Show. I have in a studio with me another candidate. This is Steve Scheer. Steve is running for Coos County Commissioner against Melissa Cribbins, right? Or no, against John Sweet. I keep getting them mixed up. Cribbins, Sweet, you know.
The two crooks.
Yeah, they're you know. Neither one of them care about the people of Coos County. They only care about their little special interests. But anyway, I've got Steve Scheer in the studio, and I'm going to ask Steve exactly the same questions I've asked some of the previous commissioner candidates. And then, of course, next week I will have another commissioner candidate on. But Steve, welcome to the Jim Bice Show.
Thank you.
I want to open by giving you an opportunity to let the people know your background and why do you want to be a commissioner? What's your vision for Coos County?
Well, the reason why I'm running for commissioner is the alternative to not running is 4 more years of John Sweet.
Okay.
And I listened to the start of your show, and I heard your reference to people being crazy running for office as any type of public office.
Yeah, that's my opinion.
And I will guarantee everybody out there and you that I am not crazy.
Okay.
I thought long and hard about this, but as Rob knows from talking to me in the past, if good people, and I think I'm a good person, people may disagree with that, but if good people do not step forward and try to do a service for the public, then we are going to give the county and all of our government to the politicians. So somebody has to step up. I don't think of myself as a politician. I think of myself as a person that, because of the time and the place and what's going on with the county government, and I've been documenting that since November 22nd in the Sentinel, and you have them on your webpage.
Right, I've posted your opinion pieces on my website. Just so people know, if you want to know where Steve's coming from, I have posted on my website, www.coosnews.com, on this, it's a state and local news page. And it's basically a series of letters that Steve has written stating his position on various issues. And if you want to know more about him, that's a good place to start. But wait until after the show before you go there and read it, okay? Because we got the guy here, you get it right from the horse's mouth, so to speak.
Well, that's the reason why I ran is because what alternative is there? Four more years to John, four more years of Melissa. Can we as a county stand that? Can we survive it? I've talked about issues as far as their plan to overharvest the county forest, to go from a 50-year harvest to a 40-year harvest, and then harvest another 200 acres a year for the next 5 years, which means they're taking 20% of the forest during that particular period of time, which is not a sustainable basis. And the reason they're doing this is because the county's broke, and I've documented that. Yeah. I was 8 years on the county noxious weed board. I was 4 years on the county planning commission, and I was 3 years on the county budget committee. And I was not reappointed last December 31st. So I did apply. I was interviewed, but they found somebody that they thought was better suited their needs.
Yeah, they wanted yes man.
Well, it is kind of funny, we'll get into that. I was the only person that went to the budget committee of all the candidates, other than the two commissioners, and went to all the budget committee meetings this year. And I was the only one who was at the compensation meeting. And I testified against the county commissioners getting a raise. And to the credit of the two old-timers on the compensation committee, they voted 2-1 against giving the commissioners a raise. And I was not, like I said, I was not only the only candidate there, I was the only one that testified against it. So, and the person that replaced me is the one person that voted for it. Yeah. So,
you know, it never ceases to amaze me. People run for various public offices, and when you ask them, well, how many meetings have you attended, or how many other things have you done that's pertinent to that office? Most of them haven't done squat, and they want us to give them their vote. When they haven't even been concerned enough to get involved and try to change things from the outside.
Well, I've heard people say that they haven't been to the budget meeting. They've sent surrogates, but they have been to the Board of Commissioners meeting. And I think the three of us here probably realize more than anybody else, since we've been observers or participants in the process over the years. Nothing goes on at the Board of Commissioners regular meetings that hasn't already been decided.
Everything
in the work sessions.
Yeah, everything's determined in work sessions. And in committee meetings.
And the budget committee is the same way. If the budget committee was approved, but it has to be adopted by the Board of Commissioners. So if you go to the Board of Commissioners meeting, they'll adopt the budget. But everything was decided at the budget hearing. If you're not there, you don't know what's going on. There's a lot of nuances that go on in those budget meetings. There's a lot of history that's given out because the Board of Commissioners does try to bend over backwards to educate the budget committee because they are, in some cases, newbies and have no idea what's really going on.
It goes back to the old thing, he who has the gold makes the rules, and it's a budget committee that makes those recommendations.
In fact, that's where all the skeletons come out, and I recommend anyone, anytime you get involved with a city council or a county, go to the budget committee meetings, because those are the most important ones.
Yes,
they are.
And we are lucky. We have two old hands on there. One's been on there 3 years, Sven Bachman and Neil, can't think of his last name now, Westfall.
And
they've been there for 3 years, and I think Neil's been there for 5 or 6 years. And they do a very, very good job of representing us, and they ask the tough questions and so forth. But stands up for reappointment this year, so we'll see what happens. So.
Yeah. Some of what you said touched on my next question, meetings. Commissioners' meetings are held in the mornings on Tuesdays when most people are out working, and a lot of what goes on in that meeting comes a complete surprise to the people when they get home from work that night because and the other thing that's happening at the meetings, and I think it was John Sweet implemented it, public comments have got to be at the beginning of the meeting before you even know what the hell's going to be discussed in the meeting. How can you comment on something that hasn't happened yet? Yeah, if you're elected commissioner, what would you do about that problem?
Well, I think you've seen these cards that I pass out to people. These were done in November.
Right.
So I've been doing this for 5 months, and one of the things on there, is open door policy and the relaxation of the public comment rule. I think it's ludicrous that people are asked to comment on something before they've had a chance to hear staff or the county council or the board of commissioners even state their views on the issue. But like I said, those issues are normally already been decided by vote, even in work session.
Right.
So I've, in this week's article or op-ed that I wrote for the Sentinel, I did explain this to people, and I've tried to tell them that if you want to get involved at the work session level. But as Rod has pointed out before, you don't always get an agenda before the meeting.
Right.
So sometimes it's very difficult to find out what is going to be on the agenda. But we can change that. And I would like, the first thing I would do is recommend that move that we change the three-minute rule. I mean, the way the Planning Commission, when I was on it, worked is that there was a three-minute public comment rule that was generic, that concerned anything planning issue. Nothing that was on the agenda. Once the item on the agenda came up, people had already signed up that they wanted to make a comment on an agenda item, and they had so much time. Normally it was 3 minutes. But when I was chair, I tended to give people a little bit more time, especially if they were making a point and they seemed to be on track and on point. And I had cleared that with the county council, and the county council had told me, no, that's perfectly legal. The three-minute rule is not anything set hard and fast in law or ordinance.
Well, something, and it used to be this way years ago, why can't they discuss issues and have public comment before they actually take a vote on that issue? I thought the whole idea of public comments was to give the public an opportunity to give the commissioners their input before they vote on something. Well, the way it's set up now, by the time you get to comment on something, it's already a done deal.
Yes.
That is not representative government.
If you will look at the agendas, most of the time when we're talking about this thing, you'll see that a resolution has already been written up. So it's just a formal vote on
exactly. And the people were left out of the loop on that, and that's what we need to change. I think government will work a whole lot better if more people had an opportunity to voice their opinion. Now, the other part of this is they hold the meetings when normal people are working to pay the taxes that pay these people. What would you do about that? Would you hold maybe one meeting a month in the evening or something?
Well, I look at it this way. There's a day meetings are fine for the everyday running of the government. I mean, there's personal issues that, you know, people are getting pay raises or somebody's being hired,
right,
or getting a promotion.
The administrative stuff.
Exactly. Accounts payable, accounts receivable, all that type of stuff. But anything that has to do with governance, including hearings, those should be conducted at night. And if the work sessions have to be done at night, then the work sessions have to be done at night. And if there's going to be a formal resolution adopted as a result of those work sessions, that should be done at night. The Planning Commission, when I was on it, we held all our meetings at night.
Yeah.
But our recommendations were just that, to the Board of Commissioners, who had the final say. Well, they met at 2 o'clock in the afternoon 3 weeks later. So
right,
the people that came to our meeting and testified, if they were a working Joe like most of the people in Coos County, they would either have to take, you know, a day off with vacation or sick leave, which most people are too honest to do that, or they'd have to take it off without pay
and still not be guaranteed an opportunity to speak.
Exactly.
That's the problem. You know, it seems like two of the three commissioners we have now have done everything in their power to keep the people out of the loop as much as possible.
Well, that's what I'd like to change. I want to bring the people into the loop. I mean, I'm not afraid of country. You've spoken about it before, and I'm glad you did, because I've always agreed with that philosophy, is that if you're an elected official, you work for the people. It's not the other way around. You take your direction from the people. Your job sometimes is to, sometimes people will come up with some crazy ideas and they'll want to do some crazy things. Your job then is to try to educate them and show them that, you know, this could get us into a lot of legal problems, but you try to work things around so that the people can get their way.
Well, you're absolutely right on that. And the other part of it, by a lot of times people that go to these meetings with preconceived ideas, a lot of times just by explaining to them some of the aspects that perhaps they're unaware of can turn them around as well. But what we're doing right now is we're just telling them, no, shut up and go away, and that's not the way it's supposed to work.
Well, that's the reason why I've written these 22 articles. I mean, I was looking for a way to to educate people, not to educate, but to inform people. People don't need to be educated by me, but they do need to be informed of what's going on in their county government.
Exactly.
And I think this was my method, one of my ways of doing it. By running for commissioner, I would have, sort of speak, a bully pulpit, that I could bring these issues up, and political free speech is still free speech in this country.
At least for the moment.
So I could inform the people of what's going on, and then let them make their decision. I'm just putting myself out there as an alternative, because, four more years? Or do you want to try something different? I mean, I don't say that I have all the answers. I have a series of ideas that we can start from. But what I would like to see is the public involvement in any discussion from that baseline ideas that I have. Because I've met a lot of people out there, and there's a lot of smart people out in Coos County.
Yeah.
And especially I've spoken to a lot of small business people, sharp people. I've identified about three or four that I would like to encourage later on, if I was elected, to get involved either on boards or committees, with the idea in 4 to 8 years, maybe get running for county commissioner. Because this is not, if I was elected, this is not a job I want for any length of time. I would like to get in, solve the problems, or at least turn it around so that the problems are on track to be solved, and then turn it over to somebody else.
Okay. We do need to take a break here, and if you have any, I'm not going to do questions, because the problem with having callers when I have a candidate on is too often you get off on a tangent and not addressing the things that are important to most people. You know, we all have our little issues that we want to deal with, but I don't think this is the time for that. So anyway, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back in just a couple minutes.
Stop in today to the all-new one-stop gun shop, Hole in the Wall Gun Shop in Coos Bay, your area leader in quality firearms. Hole in the Wall Gun Shop proudly features the top brands of new and used handguns, hunting rifles, black rifles, antique and collectible guns, ammo, mace, and more. Gun cleaning and repair, expert advice, and handgun safety classes for concealed carry permits are offered too. So stop into Hole in the Wall Gun Shop across from Cumyon's on Highway 101 South in Coos Bay. We buy, sell, or trade.
At Gibbs RV in Coos Bay, we sell more RVs than anybody on the Oregon coast. And we're looking for nice, clean, pre-owned RVs to consign or buy. Want to get your RV sold without the hassle? Call Gibbs RV today at 888-3424. That's 541-888-3424. Local pickup and appraisal at no charge. And remember, we make house calls. Gibbs RV Superstore, 1845 Ocean Boulevard in Coos Bay.
I'm a tire guy. And while you think you need new tires, what you really need is tires that created the whole off-road thing. And the kind of tough that strikes fear into roots, cages, and gullies everywhere. BF Goodrich Tires. They get you out there where the fun is. How far? That's up to you. Maybe you only need to get your fenders dirty with a little trail ride. Or maybe you need to scramble the cliffs and cross the goo to get to your favorite fishing hole. When Playground Earth calls, you'll definitely be tough. Come see Far West Tire Factory in Coos Bay for the BF Goodrich All-Terrain TAKO and the Rugged Terrain.
We're back. It's the Jim Bice Show. There he is, Jim Bice.
Welcome back to the Jim Bice Show. I have in the studio with me Steve Scheer, candidate for Coos County Commissioner. He's running against John Sweet. Next thing I want to ask you about, and there's been some discussion on this, is probably right up your alley. It seems like when budgeting is done, for some reason, all of the feel-good stuff seems to get budgeted, and the necessities, particularly law enforcement, ends up being at the bottom of the pile. And there's been talk now of maybe a special taxing district for law enforcement that would support the jail and the sheriff's department. What's your views on that?
Well, I did write in the article I wrote for this week's Sentinel, I did address that issue. And one thing that people need to realize is that they're called a local option levy is what they're called.
Right.
And if it's for ongoing things, operations like the jail or so forth, that's 1 to 5 years, and then it expires.
Right.
But if it's for, capital improvement projects, that can be up to 10 years or the life of the project. Well, one of the issues is that The sheriff at the budget meetings before he was cut off by the commissioners tried to bring this up, and what I think you're going to see as the beginning of the negotiations later on this month is that he was proposing $2.6 million at 47 cents a thousand, or $5.3 million at 98 cents a thousand valuation. Well, the Coos Bay School District just went through a budget $1.60. So people are in the Coos Bay School District, which is about 35% of the vote, are already tapped out. And as you and Rob so eloquently said, you know, there's a lot of people that are on fixed incomes. How, you know, this will be on top of that.
Yeah.
And then also, so they may be already tapped out. So that would, you know, that could really influence the election. Now the other thing is homelessness. I mean, this was an issue that came up I think last week or a couple of weeks ago. When you start raising taxes, taxes actually have to be passed on by landlords.
Right.
So what happens is you're going to have two-pronged attack here. You could find people who are on the edge already, being because of the raise and rents, could be forced out of their current residences,
right,
and become homeless. But it also could be a burden on people who are at the cusp of out of homelessness and getting adequate housing. So with the rise in rent, they may no longer be afford to do it.
Right.
So those are just issues. I mean, I'm not saying one way or another. I'm just I like to bring everything out on the plane, and if I was elected, you would see a lot of this. People still make up their own minds.
Well, what's your view on priorities of funding?
Well, the other thing is that I talked about is this. Okay, there's three things that could happen with any tax that was given to the sheriff. It could be used to supplement the sheriff's budget. Now, the sheriff is 48% of the general fund right now, and if you include the miscellaneous account, which has all the things like the contingency fund and all these other little funds for the departments, it's 59%.
Wow.
So it's a large, it's over $11 million. So if you tack, say, take the higher end, if you tack 5.3 on top of that, that's going to do nothing for the budget. It'll help the sheriff, but it's going to do nothing for the budget because the sheriff's still taking his $11 million.
Yeah, and we need to do stuff that's going to help across the board.
Right, but if you supplant it, which means we take that, say, we take that 5.3 out of the budget and out of the budget, the corresponding levy out of the budget that the sheriff would get on the levy, well, now we open up another can of worms because now the Board of Commissioners has $5.3 million that freed up to spend.
They can do whatever they want.
Well,
yeah.
Now, the other thing is you could do a combination of both, but still then both scenarios apply. So these are issues that you have to address when you look at this problem. So it's a complicated. I don't have an answer. If I was going to do it, what I would do, I would go with a levy. I would do it for capital improvement. The sheriff needs $1.5 million for a new communication system, and that includes fire. I've talked to people that are on volunteers on fire department, and the communication system fails for them too. And they also need $300,000 for an upgrade to the 911 or the dispatch system.
Right.
And so if the sheriff was going to do that, I think people might get on board with that because
it's a one-shot deal.
It's one and done, whereas the levy on ongoing operations, just like Lane County, they have to do it every year because it's like a drug. You get caught. You get fixed on the fact that you got all these.
You get hooked on money.
Hooked on the money, and you get hooked on the service, and you don't want the service to go away. And they say, well, now we're going to lay off half the deputies if you don't pass the levy again. So
we're just about in that situation as it is with the cutbacks we've had to make. I talked to the sheriff here a month or so ago, and he was just tickled to death that they've got deputies now that are trained. We opened up a segment of the jail that had been closed, and law enforcement was trucking along just fine, and then the budget came along, and now he's worried about losing deputies. And here's the problem with this up and down thing and it isn't just in law enforcement, it's in all the departments. You hire people, you train people, and most of these people are, you know, they want a long-term job that they can depend on to feed their families. And with this up and down, it's really difficult to hire good people because, you know, who in the hell wants to apply for a job that, oh, well, we can employ you for 2 years, but when we do the budget next time, you're probably going to be on the street. Well, that doesn't work. We've proven that doesn't work.
Well, one other thing is people may not be aware of is that the Board of Commissioners entered into a memorandum of understanding or agreement with Bandon Dunes a couple of years ago. And it was a bad deal as far as I was concerned because the county gave up, abrogated their budgeting authority for the Sheriff's Department.
Right.
To Bandon Dunes. But as part of that, they've received $575,000 last year, and this year they're going to get $725,000. This is in lieu of that transient tax that failed.
Right.
So the sheriff is getting money, but for that, we had to freeze the sheriff's budget level at the 2016-2017 levels, which is not so much a problem, but where the real problem comes in is Bandon Dunes calling the shots.
Right.
And that's great, because I was tickled pink, because Trump talks about it, and Bandon Dunes made a good deal, and I'm all favor it. But the point is, the problem that I see is that the contract can be terminated any time after December 31st, 2019. Now, the sheriff and the county went out and gave all the deputies raises.
Right.
Those are ongoing costs, just like on the cereal levy.
Oh, yeah.
Ongoing costs. If that goes away, if Bandon Dunes says, tough work, we don't have the money, the business cycle changed, our plan has changed, we can't give you that money anymore, and they take it away, the county is still on the hook for that money, for those raises, but now we don't have that $700,000, $725,000 this year to pay for it. And that's what I mean. There's consequences to all
I know. Everything you do, there's consequences.
And I don't think they thought this through.
Well, and the thing is, too, our law enforcement here, I know several cops. They're pretty low paid compared to other places in the state. It's difficult enough to maintain good qualified people because we just don't pay enough. And even with the pay raise, we're still not on a parity with like Lane County or some of the other counties in the state. So, you know, cops are like everybody else. They got to support their family. And if they can make more money someplace else, they're going to go. I don't blame them. I'd do the same thing. So would you. I'll tell you what, before it gets too out of hand, let's take another break here and get that out of the way. And when we come back, I've got some more questions for you, okay? So please stick with us. We'll be right back.
Looking for electronics or musical instruments? Do you like jewelry? Are you looking for a newer used firearm? How about tools? Or maybe you could use some extra cash. World Pawn Exchange, located at 1980 Sherman Avenue in downtown North Bend, buys and sells firearms, gold and silver coins and jewelry, musical instruments, electronics, and more. At World Pawn Exchange, you'll find more than you can possibly imagine. World Pawn Exchange, 1980 Sherman Avenue in North Bend.
In just a fast few minutes from right now, you can have life insurance for up to $500,000 without taking a medical exam and without leaving your home. We're Fast Life, and we're going to make this easy and fast. Odds are that you don't have enough insurance, or you're paying way too much for what you got, or you don't have any, and that's not good. Listen, nobody likes to think about life insurance, but we're grown-ups now, so call and protect your family. 1-800-254-9567, or go to fastlife.life. You've got insurance? That's great, but you may be able to get more coverage and pay less than what you're paying now. And with no medical exam, you can get it right over the phone, and that's fast. Faster than a speeding bullet? No, but fast. And we also said we make it easy. So call and get quotes, then submit an application over the phone, and that's it. And that's easy. Get approved, and coverage starts instantly. And that's fast. Faster than the speed of light? No, but fast. Call 1-800-254-9567 or go to fastlife.life. Fastlife.life. It's revolutionary. It's Fast Life.
If you run your own business, when you're not on the job, you're on the road. In your van. Signs that say detour and do not enter are just plain bad for business. Well, here's a sign that's great for business. It says 0% financing and up to 2 years complimentary scheduled maintenance on Mercedes-Benz Sprinter or Metris vans. Powerful, capable, and affordable. That's Mercedes-Benz van power. With pioneering safety technologies and low total cost of ownership, Mercedes-Benz vans are the right choice for your business. Check out the full lineup of Mercedes-Benz vans starting at just $25,995. 0% financing and up to 2 years complimentary scheduled maintenance. That's van power for all. Mercedes-Benz. Vans. Born to run.
Starting ad price refers to base model Metris worker cargo van. Excludes all options, taxes, title, registration, transportation charge, and dealer prep fee. Please see your dealer or go to mvvans.com for further details and exclusions.
Are your medical bills piling up due to cancer or another serious illness? You are not alone. Many people face this challenge. Here's how Coventry Direct can help. You can receive an immediate cash payment by selling your life insurance policy. If you have $100,000 or more of life insurance, you may be eligible to sell your policy, even a term policy. To find out if you qualify, call Coventry Direct today at 1-800-510-2800 to speak to one of our policy specialists. That's 1-800-510-2800. The cash you receive from selling your policy can be used to help pay medical bills or whatever you choose to give you financial security and peace of mind. Call Coventry Direct at 1-800-510-2800 or visit us at CoventryDirect.com. Coventry Direct, giving you the cash you need when you need it most. Coventry Direct is a marketing company and will refer qualified policies to a licensed entity.
We're back. It's the Jim Bice Show. There he is, Jim Bice.
Welcome back to the Jim Bice Show. I have Steve Shearer in the studio with me. He's a candidate for Coos County Commissioner. We're talking about various things. I wanted to move on a little bit. You know, the people of Coos County voted a couple of years ago and said they did not want a county administrator. And even though the people didn't want it, John Sweet and Melissa Cribbins decide they do an end run around the people, so they created the position of finance director. And basically, all of the responsibilities that were going to fall onto an administrator have now come under the umbrella of the finance director. Where are you at on that? What's your thinking on?
Well, like on the card that I showed you earlier, I'm against the county administrator. I oppose it. And I have written an article about it, or opinion piece about it, and I think you can see it coming through. There's been a lot already been, because I've told people what they can look for is a consolidation of departments under the finance director. And one thing that already immediately happened was accounts payable, and I said one of the other things to look for would be the payroll, and I just found out about during the budget process, payroll is now under the finance director.
So basically, they've got a de facto county administrator, even though the people said they didn't want that.
They are gradually working that way.
Yeah, so... It's just another case where we have sitting commissioners that don't give a rat's behind about what the people want.
Well, there's even another issue that has come up at least in my mind, and from talking to some people, I think that they've been agreeing. That is, the finance director is also an elected official. She's
right.
Also treasurer. If I'm elected, I think that the finance director, I think the ordinance needs to be passed that says that no county employee can hold a public office, and a county public office. We have to decouple that because that's concentrating.
Well, it's a conflict of interest for one thing.
Well, it's a conflict of interest, but it's also consolidating way too much power in one individual.
Yeah. Well, since you're knee deep in the county budget, where are we at on logging and timber?
Well, like I said, they've tried to. They're over harvesting the county forest, and to the tune of 20% of the county forest over the next 5 years, and. They gave various reasons for it. They're talking about there's some big old trees and stuff like that, and they can't sell these trees and so forth. And that with a smaller log, we could go to the local mills. The only problem with the logic is, I mean, Rob's has had a conversation with Bob Sweet about that. The only problem with that logic is that these logs that the trees they're talking about are spruce trees. Spruce trees in this area are not cut for rubber.
Right.
So what we're talking about is we're talking about Doug fir trees, and Doug fir trees. In the area, the county has, you have to look at the county, has two forests. It has a forest that's in the fog belt, on almost the same longitude that I am, which is Crown Point area, and which is the West Beaver Hill area, and then Morgan Creek.
Right.
So they two different soil series, Coos Bay versus the Templeton, the predominant series. Trees grow differently. They grow faster and so forth. Well, the deal is trees in the majority of the Coos County forest grow slow enough they never in 50 years are going to get to be 50 to 55 inches
right.
in diameter. So it's a ruse. Those logs, the saw logs that would be available, it's not a problem based upon the size. The problem is they need the money. And you can tell that log size doesn't matter because Seneca is coming down here out of Eugene. They're bidding on the sales this year. I talked to the timber manager, the log buyer at South Coast, because he was looking to sell next generation to our property. They bought two sales last year, and they are looking at sales, more sales this year. So each of those can handle over 15-inch logs. So it's not a problem with the size of the log. It's one, because of the species, and two, because of the people that are bidding on them could handle it if it was a Doug fir.
Right.
And the third thing is that the county is broke and they need the money. And
so basically what's being proposed by the current commissioners is we're going to try to resolve the immediate problem and kick the can down the road and let somebody else suffer in the future.
Well, in a work session again, here we go. I was tipped to a work session, and I went to it, and I got the county forester to admit that based upon their current practices of what they're proposing to do, you're going to have to triple the size of the county forest over the next 40 years when the 40-year harvest is fully implemented in order to generate the same amount of money that we get now, not adjusted for inflation. So the deal is, as it turns out, that's 30,000 acres. So at the price that he quoted, $1,000 to $4,000 an acre, we're talking about an intergenerational transfer of wealth of between $30 to $120 million from the generation or the taxpayers of Coos County in 40 years from now to the taxpayers now.
Right.
And it's just, you know, it's a smokescreen is what it is.
Exactly.
Because the deal is that, you know, probably in 4 years, John will be retired. 4 years, Melissa will probably be working for the state someplace, or she'll be half Caddy's position, or who knows. But
hopefully she'll be unemployed like she deserves. But
there won't be anybody around to be responsible for it.
Yeah. Another issue, and this has been a big issue, not just here but nationally, and that's a homeless problem. Do you see any role for the county in dealing with homeless?
Well, as I think Avery Horton did a very good job. He's got the experience working for the THE House. I do know about a lot of the homeless issues. I think where the county can help, because, you know, I've sat there and I've listed at least 10 or 15 different scenarios why people are homeless.
Right.
But the county helps, at least from the point of view of veterans. We have a veteran service officer. We have a veterans program. There's 200 homeless vets living on the Coquille River between Coquille and Myrtle Point. There's an outreach barrier who's our service officer. She does a very good job. She's reaching out to those people. You have SOVO over there in Pony Village.
Right.
They have an outreach to it.
Right.
The VA clinic over in North Bend, they have an outreach also to homeless vets. That's something that we're doing now. The county contributes over $60,000 in matching funds in order to get those funds, the $60,000 match from the state to run the veterans program. The other thing that we could do is try to keep taxes down, just because what I said before. If we keep taxes down,
give more people an opportunity to be able to rent. One of the proposals from one of the candidates has been, maybe we use empty jail cells to house the homeless. I personally thought that was the most boneheaded idea I've ever heard. I've talked to people in Coquille, and they've got a problem now because people that they let out of the jail, they let them out in Coquille, so they're on the street in Coquille, and if they live in Coos Bay or North Bend or other parts of the county, then they have problems getting transportation back. How much more would that be exacerbated by a bunch of homeless there? What would that do to the city of Coquille? And the other thing that occurred to me is this doesn't bode well, putting a bunch of homeless people in the same building as a bunch of people who are in jail for breaking the law. I don't think that the jail personnel are equipped to deal with that.
They aren't, and I haven't talked to the sheriff about this, but I'm sure he would be adamantly against any such proposal. At least, if nothing else, from a liability point of view and a security point of view, those are the two big items. I mean, the county doesn't need a huge lawsuit because some prisoner escapes and takes on a homeless person, or say a homeless person has a loved one that's incarcerated and decides to try to get him some sort of a weapon.
Yeah, it's just a whole can of worms we can live without.
And we don't need our public safety personnel babysitting homeless people. We need them taking care of the
criminals.
Exactly.
Yes, that's what we pay them for, is it not? We need to take another break here, and this is the one of them everybody waits for. I'm going to give something away. This is from the Lucky Star Chinese Restaurant. They're located at the foot of Newmark on Highway 101. I don't know if there's anybody that doesn't know where they're at. They're open 7 days a week from 11 in the morning to 9:30 at night. You can dine in, you can carry out, or they deliver. which I do about once or twice a month. I have them deliver food because it's convenient for me. I don't have to cook. I don't have to do dishes. And the food's really good, you know. Anyway, what they're offering to my listeners is their house special dinner. It includes barbecued pork, sweet and sour pork, fried shrimp, spring roll, pork fried rice, and pork chow mein. Enough food for about three people, and I'm going to give this away to caller number three at 541-267-2124. So dial the phone right now, 541-267-2124. Be caller number three, and you can win this delicious, and it is, I've had it, humongous meal from the Lucky Star Chinese restaurant. And we'll be right back.
Always the right tire, always the right price, Far West Tire.
Hi, Danny at Far West Tire and Auto here. With winter weather comes unstable road conditions. At Far West Tire and Auto, we've got you covered with great deals on American-made tires with up to $140 back in rebates on four select tires. We can have you safely traveling in style, so stop by and visit the guys at Far West Tire and Auto. Highway 101, Coos Bay. Always the right tire, always the right price.
Oregon, it's Rob from Bass and Tackle. Don't forget to tune in to KWRO or KWRO.com every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for your premier Southern Oregon radio program, The Bass and Tackle Outdoor Show, where we set you up for adventure and give you directions to get there.
Yeah, I left my
Slip away to the tropics. The tropical decor at the new Copacabana, North Bend's newest and friendliest night spot. The Copacabana is located at 645 Virginia Avenue and features not only a full-service bar for all your favorite adult beverages, but offers hamburgers, seafood, and appetizers to satisfy your munchies. They're open from 5 till midnight Monday through Thursday and 5 till 2:30 a.m. on Friday and Saturday. At the Copacabana, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights are special with a live DJ for your dancing and listening pleasure. That's the Copacabana, 645 Virginia in North Bend. Stop by tonight.
We're back. It's the Jim Bice Show. There he is, Jim Bice.
Welcome back to the Jim Bice Show. I have Steve Sheeran in the studio where he's a candidate for Cooks County Commissioner, and we're discussing some of the issues. One of the things that has been a hot-button topic, not just here but all across the country, is the gun control thing. And we've got two current commissioners that basically lied to the people. They refused to support the Second Amendment ordinance. And as far as I'm concerned, they're guilty of treason because they took an oath of office to uphold the Constitution of the United States of America and the Constitution of the State of Oregon, and they haven't done it. Well, where are you at on the gun control thing?
Well, the first item on that on my campaign card is support of the Second Amendment. And I've said before, without a Second Amendment, you have no First Amendment, you have no Fourth Amendment.
That's right.
They're all intertwined. The framers did a very good job of tying all the first 10 amendments together. They're as one complete package. So if you take one away, you're taking them all away. And I firmly believe in that. Rob Taylor had a Second Amendment rally on 101 3 weeks ago in support of the 18 to 20 year olds that are having their rights taken away from them. I was there with my wife. We have supported the rally. We were there the whole time. I was the only commissioner or commissioner candidate that was there.
I noticed that. Yeah.
So I put it on my card. I speak it, and you know I will walk the walk also. So that's one thing you don't have to worry about.
Okay, and another thing that's a hot topic here is Rob's been working on this urban renewal thing, trying to get an ordinance to overturn the current urban renewal. What's your position on that?
That is one of the things on the card that I opposed. Rob had a meeting last Friday night. I thought he did a very good job. I mean, he did such a good job that the people didn't wait for him to finish. They were ready to grab signature sheets and sign. So
they were tired of listening to me. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Shut up and let's go already.
If I sign this, will you shut up and go away?
That's my tactic, Jim. I just keep talking until they're, you know, useless.
But I am against that. It seems ludicrous to me that a $6 billion project needs $32 or $38 million in subsidies. I don't like the concept of the uh, of the uh, of the community enhancement program. Also, that's just taking the governance out of the hands of elected officials and placing it into the hands of, at the best, would be a unelected foundation or maybe the Port of Coos Bay, who are a bunch of officials that are appointed by the governor. They're not elected. And I'm also against the enterprise zone, because if you look at the enterprise zone, also there's a whole bunch of goodies, like $2,500 for every employee they produce.
Right.
And what you're going to see is that you're going to see that all the city services that normally you and I pay for when we develop a piece of property, they're going to have credits for that. So there was a deal, I think Wim DeVind was talking about in his book. Job Messiahs. He talked about when the pulp mill was scheduled to come in, they created enough of tax credits that they were going to get out of paying a $250,000 surcharge to the North Bend Coos Bay Water Board.
Well, and I remember in a meeting some years ago with Jordan Cove, they weren't at all interested in tax breaks. It was our local politicians that offered them the tax breaks. They weren't even interested in that. That was not a deal maker or breaker.
Well, the deal is if you people will say that, but the deal is if you're going to give them the money, they're going to take it. I mean, that's just human behavior.
Well, hell yes. If you offer me money, I'm going to take it.
So, I mean, the deal is that if they're going to be here, let them come here on their because of their business plan and their business model and the market conditions favor their locating here. They don't need the help from us. After all, they're not going to share their profits with us. So why should we be giving them money?
What's your feeling on Jordan Cove? What's your position on that?
Well, I'm a free market person. I believe in the free market. I believe that I, as well as you and Rob, should all have the right to use our property as we see fit. And if Jordan Cove wants to do that and the market conditions are such, then, yeah, I don't have a problem with it. But from my own personal point of view, I think we can do better. I think Coos County has a problem in the sense that we have an identity crisis. We don't know whether we want to be a heavy industrial port, export, import port, or whether we want to be tourism or maybe a destination resort like with Bandon Dunes. And I think until such time as we decide what we want to be, I don't think that there's going to be a lot of industry that's going to come into the area, because people are afraid of, for whatever reason, the perception of what Jordan Cove could end up being. Then the problem is that Jordan Cove has been around for 13 years. We've lost 13 years of potential development in this county. I don't care if they want to put it in. Let's put it in. Let's get it approved. Let's do something with it. If not, let's get on with our lives and get some other businesses in here, because like with everything else, it's a smokescreen. We're being diverted away towards this problem here, when actually there could be other businesses that employ 20 or 30 people that could help Bandon or Coquille or Myrtle Point or Powers or Lakeside or even Coos Bay. I mean, my neighbor owns Guinea Boatberg. He's building the biggest fishing vessel ever to come out of there.
No,
he's turning people away to Reedsport, because the port will not give him the facilities in order to handle more than one boat at a time. In fact, he doesn't even have a way to launch this boat yet, because the quay is broken and the port will not fix it.
Well, that's because we gave control of our port to the Port of Portland. How smart was that?
Right, but see, that's the thing. I could see we got the dunes. I could see research facilities for ATVs. I mean, we used to build a heck of a lot of schooners and sloops.
Oh, yeah.
Why we have the boat building facility out here? Why not do something like that? We could pleasure yachts, recreational watercraft, anything that could be done along the waterfront, but maybe on a smaller scale.
Yeah, that boat facility is just being completely misused and underused.
Underused,
yes.
Another major issue, this is a national issue, but it's impacting us locally as well, is the illegal alien problem. Unless you talk to a liberal that doesn't know what day of the week it is to begin with, everybody's pretty much aware that we've got a real serious problem. We're being invaded by illegal people that come into this country. They break our laws. They injure people. They contribute to crime. They bring disease. And they've got their hands out wanting us to pay for it. In fact, a couple of years ago, we even had an older couple killed over Pony Village by an illegal alien that worked at a local restaurant, which I will never go into for that reason. Now, I know the county, per se, can't do a whole lot about it, But there are a few policies we could enact that, that would make this, let's say, not a desirable place for these illegals. What's your position on that?
Well, my position is my parents, probably like everybody else's or ancestors, they immigrated here legally from Germany and Ireland, so
right.
Both. So in the early 19th century. So, but they did it legally.
Yes.
And they came here and they were hardworking and so forth. And I'm not saying that these illegal aliens are not hardworking. Some of them are. Some of them aren't. But the deal is, we are a nation of laws. If you don't like the law, change the law.
Right.
But in the meantime, you obey the law. So that's my point on this whole thing is that I don't agree with some of the other candidates as far as that we're a nation of immigrants, and that means we should throw open the borders. I think
we're a nation of legal immigrants.
Legal immigrants, and the problem that we had, if people will remember, there was about a 40-year period from about 1910 to about 1960, 50 years, where there was no immigration.
Exactly.
And the reason why was to stimulate those people, because there been a flood of immigration in the country, to stimulate
right.
those people. And we don't see that now. And that affects our identity as a people. And you were talking about it earlier, before, about this cultural divide that we have in this country. That's one of the reasons why we have a cultural divide, is because we don't identify as a people anymore.
Well,
we identify as a focus group.
We're no longer an American culture. They're trying to turn us into a toss salad culture, and that does not work. Human nature precludes that from ever happening.
Right.
And yet we've got these people that are promoting something that they know won't work. We've only got a couple minutes left in the show, and I want to give you an opportunity. I'm going to give you the last few minutes of the show. Explain to people why they should vote for you.
Well, it's up to the people of Coos County. I mean, I'm here. I've already explained the reason why I'm running for commissioner. It's just as an alternative. I think you need to be informed, and that's what I'm trying to do. I believe in the citizens of Coos County. They will make the right decision. Whatever that decision is, it'll be the right decision for them going forward. Only thing I can do is I can pledge to try to be open and honest with the citizens, just like I've tried to be open and honest with during this conversation and all my other dealings that I have with people going forward. I will listen to people. I will never turn my back on people. And my door would always be open to anybody. I've already told my wife that I'll brown bag it. If I was elected, I'll sit in the office at noon. If somebody wants to come in, and even though the office is closed, I'll open the door, and people can come in and talk to me. I will be available, and I will listen, and I will try to involve the people. And if I can't involve the people, then that will be the time to leave.
Okay. Let's say, for example, you win the election, you become a commissioner. Just the nature of things, at some point in time, there's going to be controversial issues come up. And what we have now is we've got at least two of the three commissioners that will not come on this show or any other media to discuss those issues openly with the people. Would you be willing to come on even if I disagree with you?
No issue would be too controversial to keep me away. And I will say that. And I've also told Gene Ivey, the publisher of the Sentinel, that I would be willing to write, at least on a monthly basis, continue to write op-eds informing the people of Coos County of what's going on in their government so they can get involved.
Perfect. Okay. Well, unfortunately, we're out of time. I thank you for coming in. I appreciate
thank
it.
You.
And I wish you the best of luck in the election. And for all of you listening out there, I hope you got something out of this. I hope this helps you make your decision on who you're going to vote for. I will be back next week. And until then, I want you to go out there and you have a great week.